Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is my first time in the new year in the pulpit back here. I spoke at our deacon's retreat, but anyway. So let me start. I'm going to read through these verses and then we'll get started and kind of breaking these down. Starting in verse 11, it says, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who did not need be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Now, as we start here, I want to give you a brief background of the first 10 verses, what they said, what Paul was talking about in these first 10 verses. The very first verse, he reminds Paul or Timothy to show grace to people. And then he goes on, he says, "And not only show grace, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to teach, and I want you to have others teach the things that I have taught you, the gospel that I preach to you. Those are the principles that I want you to be teaching to everyone around you." And then in verses 3 and 4, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, "Listen, we're soldiers in a battle right here. We're fighting for our very soul." We got to understand tonight that we're not just going through the motions day by day living and everything is just easy, but man, we are living in a battle. We are fighting. There's a real enemy who wants to destroy us. So we are in a battle for our soul, and what Paul says is it's not always going to be easy. And then he says this, be careful what you allow yourself to get involved in. He said that soldiers don't get involved in civilian matters. In other words, he said, although we are living on this earth, we got to remember we're just passing through. This is not our home. If we're a Christian, if we put our hope in Jesus, this is all temporary. Everything that you have, every possession, every number in your bank account, if you've got a lot of zeros or a few zeros, thank goodness it's temporary, right? Especially if you got a few zeros. So all that is just temporary. He said, we've got to make sure we get involved in the right things, but we should be more focused on pleasing God than civilian affairs of the things of this earth. So we have to be careful what we focus on and put our energy toward while we're living here. There's some good things that we should be involved in, but there's some things that maybe we shouldn't waste our energy on. I'm just saying, that's civilian affairs. Be careful what you get involved in. Then he tells him this, that the only way athletes get rewarded is that you do things the right way. There are people who try to take shortcuts, but at the end of the day, Paul's reminding Timothy, shortcuts don't get the job done. And there's no shortcuts in our spiritual life. If we want to obtain the crown that we're running after, we've got to do things the right way. And then he even says this, Paul says, now understand that doing things the right way leads to trouble. I'm in some trouble now. He said, I'm in chains. Now, thankfully, we don't have that to deal with in America, right? We can preach the gospel. We can talk about the gospel, and we're not in chains. But Paul said, but you know what? Even if I'm in chains, praise the Lord, the word of God is not in chains tonight. It's always declared. It's free to roam the earth, to set men free. It's never chained up. Even if I, the servant, is chained up, the word of God is free. It's not chained up. And then Paul ends with this. He says, and I'll forever take whatever, I'll endure whatever I need to, because I know the word of God sets captives free. People are still being saved. And if it takes me suffering a little bit so others can find salvation, Paul said, I'm willing to do that. So that's kind of a recap in my version of the first 10 verses. So now we get to verse 11 here. And verses 11 through 13, this is what it said. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall live with him. And if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. See, Paul tells us that there is merit to our trust in the Lord. You ever heard somebody tell us that we're foolish? You ever heard somebody say Christians are foolish if you believe trusting in the Lord gains anything? Well, I'm going to just tell you my personal experience. What I found is I can't believe anybody can make it through a day without trusting on the Lord. And what you find is those people are miserable. Those people, even when they put on smiles and all that, I mean, listen, it amazes me, people in the spotlight, how many known actors and musicians and all these folks who are supposed to have it all, man, how many of them take their own life? Why? Because something's missing, obviously. What the world says you need to be happy doesn't provide happiness. It doesn't provide peace. It doesn't provide completion like trusting in the Lord. And so Paul's saying, look, there's merit to your faith. He says that if we have crucified our flesh daily, if we get up in the morning desiring to live for Christ and let the world see Christ in us, Paul says there's something to that, that there are benefits from that. Because it says if we died with him, we will live with him. Aren't you thankful for that? That when we're willing to put our flesh to death daily, when we die to self, and that's not always easy. Let's just be real about it. Some days the flesh gets real hungry and he says, feed me, right? And it's not normally the things of God. So there's days you got to deny yourself and say, not today. I'm choosing Christ. We got to do that day after day after day after day. But this is what Paul says. He said, if you do that, if you die with him, you will live with him again. It's not in vain. It's not for nothing. There is something to achieve by that. Then Paul says this. He says that our sufferings and our trials and our tribulations, that our hardships for the Lord have been noted. And one day we will reign with him because of those sufferings. We'll get to reign with Christ. Then Paul reminds us that God knows when we've denied him. Listen, that's a scary thought, isn't it? God knows every little secret about us. Those days when by yourself, you denied him. When your faith, it says, when you have become faithless, the Lord knows those things. Just like his eyes are on us when we choose to do the right thing, his eyes are on us when we choose to do the wrong thing. And there are repercussions. These are some scary words. Let's just be real. The Lord, if you deny him, it says, then he will deny us. It's a little nerve-wracking, right? But the beauty of this is that we have hope. Because Paul says this, if you deny him, he'll deny you. If you're faithless, here's the beauty of it. He says, he remains faithful. What? You mean when I mess up, it doesn't affect the character of God? Absolutely not. It says when you mess up, guess what? He's still faithful. And the beauty of it is this, that when he's faithful, it's his character, it means this, that he doesn't love you any less. You know how I know that? Because this is what Romans 5:8 says, that he loved us while we were yet sinners. So if he loved us while we were yet sinners, how much more is he going to love us when we're trying to live for him and we may make a mistake and we may slip up? You think his love's going to decrease for us then? No, absolutely not. He's going to love us because he is faithful. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. I'm thankful for a love that even when I mess up, even when my faith isn't what it needs to be, even when I just stumble through this thing, he is faithful. And I can trust him to still love me and still offer grace when I need it. And we get to verse 14. It says this, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And I began to wonder what that's an interesting phrase, to not strive about words to no profit. And I began to think about the issue of conversations that we have that serve no purpose. You ever had a conversation that when you finish, you was like, boy, that was a waste of 25 minutes. Don't call out any names, please. You know what I'm saying? You have conversations, you're like, boy, they talk a lot, but they ain't said nothing. But here's what NIV says in that little phrase. It says that we should not quarrel about words. Now, what does it mean to quarrel? It means to fuss, to fight. We have to be careful as we discuss Scripture that we don't argue about things that aren't of great value. Because here's what happens. When we get in debate and we start talking about things that don't really matter, it says it can ruin people who are listening, the hearers. It can ruin people. Man, how many times have people been turned off to the gospel because they hear two quote-unquote Christians going back and forth at each other, being ugly, saying things that are not uplifting, arguing about things that really don't matter. We've got to be careful. Our conversations matter. How we conduct ourselves. So we've got to be careful about how we talk and who we talk to. Because there are people around us that can be affected by our words. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What we see here is the importance of personal study time. See, as hard as we want to give you the gospel and we want to give you the word of God, we only get to see you a couple times a week. And so if you're depending on us just taking this word and giving it to you, and again, we're going to do the best we can do. But if that's all that you're depending on, your spiritual life's going to be in trouble. You have got to spend some personal time reading the Word of God and letting it get down inside of you. And it's got to be more, Pastor Jonathan, we were talking about this the other week. We have to be careful not to read the Word just so we can check it off. I read Scripture today. Don't raise your hand, okay? I'm going to do a survey. Don't raise your hand. Just survey, raise your hand in your heart, okay? That's all I want you to do. How many times have you ever read Scripture, close your Bible, and you can barely remember what chapter you read, much less the words you read? You know what I'm saying? Oh, I read my Bible today. Where'd you read? Somewhere. Old Testament, New Testament. Yeah, one of those. I mean, that's all you can answer, right? Because if we're not careful, we're not really studying the Word. We're just looking at it and just reading over it so we can say we did it. So the thing is, if we would find some portion of Scripture and really begin to study it and see what it means, It may not be the fast track to get through the Bible in a year. Listen, I know somebody right now who has committed to read the whole Bible in the month of January. Wow. We figured it out. It's a little over 2 hours every day that they've got to spend doing that, listening and reading. Now, here's the hard part of that. What are you comprehending? What are you getting? You know what I'm saying? And it's great. I think it's amazing. I'm going to just tell you, I'm not spiritual enough to do that. I will not ever launch on that endeavor because I just can't. Not who I am. But if we see this, think about it. It says be diligent. What does diligence mean? It means that you are focused, that you're intentional about what you're reading, that what you're doing matters to you. So you're opening yourself up to the Word. So even if you read two verses, I mean, think about that. What if you committed to read 5 minutes every day, but that you would take one verse and for the rest of your day, that's all you focused on? What does that verse mean? Let me break it down and think about what this is telling me. All of a sudden, you have intentionally picked some scripture to get inside of you, to let it take root in who you are. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, you got to be diligent about this thing. This, again, remember, in verses 3 and 4, he said, we're fighting for our life. If you knew you had a battle to the death, most of us, not everybody, but most of us would probably train a little bit, right? We would focus on what can I do to stay alive? Well, guess what? This is our weapon. The Word of God, not only is it our weapon, it's our shield. And so when it gets inside of us and the enemy starts coming against us, when you need a shield, you can pick it up and start quoting scripture and those darts, they just fall to the side. But all of a sudden, when you need to go on the offensive, this is the sword that you can pick up and you can begin to do some damage to the enemy and make him flee. So we've got to be diligent. We've got to be intentional. And remember, Paul said that as athletes, we've got to do things the right way. So when we're diligent about doing things the right way, reading scripture and studying, we don't have to worry about being ashamed or disapproved of. This is what it says. We need to present ourselves so we are not ashamed, but that we rightly divide the word of truth. That means this. When I'm speaking about scripture, that means I'm telling people correctly what it means, not just flippantly saying, well, I've heard it said this before, and this, you kind of, there's something you know because you've been diligent about studying. Think back to Cain and Abel. They're bringing their offerings before the Lord. The Lord looked on Abel's sacrifice and was pleased, but not with Cain's. Listen to what the Lord said in Genesis 4. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you study diligently, will you not be accepted? Will you not know how to handle the word of truth? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. I'm convinced it's no different today than it was back then. If we don't do things right, if we're not diligent about studying the Word of God and learning how to handle it, if we don't do things the right way, guess what? Sin is crouching at your door, and it wants to have you. Verse 16, 17, and 18, it says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have stayed astray concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. As you read these words, the last part of verse 15 becomes more than just words on a page, right? Rightly handling the word of truth. See, we have to make sure that we are saying lines, or what we are saying lines up correctly with what the Bible's teaching. Because if we aren't careful, our misunderstandings and our miscommunication can affect the faith of others. I can just tell you, I don't ever want somebody to say, well, you know, I did this because Pastor Jody said I could. Man, when I was a youth pastor, I wanted to be really careful to not give kids leeway to feel like they could live however they wanted. I'm going to just tell you, preaching funerals, I try really hard to stay away from preaching people into heaven. You know, I mean, this is what I tell people. At the end of the day, the person that we're celebrating, they preach their own funeral, so you know the life they lived. A lot of times, I don't know details about people's lives like their family or their friends did. But what I can tell you is this. I don't want to ever give somebody a license to say, well, at that funeral, Pastor Jody said they were all right, and I'm not near as bad as them, so I must be good. We really have to be careful. I know y'all probably think I'm crazy, but I'm going to be held accountable for that. That's how I feel. So we have to be very careful. I mean, think about what Paul said. He said that it can spread like cancer. That it quickly, if we're telling people the wrong stuff, all of a sudden it goes and it's everywhere. You can't even stop it once it goes out. He says it affects people's faith. Their journey with Christ can be affected by our conversation. Man, y'all are quiet. Are y'all even breathing? Like y'all the quietest group ever. Like taking deep, shallow breaths so I can't hear you. It's okay. Everybody all right? We good? All right. Anybody got anything they can throw? There ain't no snowballs you can throw at me. Not yet anyway, right? All right, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I think Paul is reminding us here that God is still God no matter what misinterpretation someone may have about Scripture. There's a solid foundation that we can build our life on. And I love what Paul says is written on the foundation. The Lord knows those who are his. Now, we live in a day where there's a lot of preachers everywhere, a lot of people saying all kind of stuff. People claiming to be Christians and living however they want to. This scripture is very clear. You might can fool me, and I might can fool you. But at the end of the day, guess who's not fooled? God knows who's his. God knows who's living right and doing right, and God knows who is pretending. And you may think that you can get by, and you may do a good job. And listen, people do it all the time. You want me to tell you one of the most amazing things? This is like a side note right here, so it just came to my brain. But here's what amazes me. You know what amazes me? How many serial killers were deacons in their church? Have you ever noticed that? Well, he was a deacon in his church for 25 years. What? How is that possible? People can fool people. I know that's probably the weirdest thing you've ever heard said from a, but it's, you, what is it? Because the Lord knows who is his, and sometimes we don't. We think we do. Don't call it that, but you ever known somebody who you thought was one way and all of a sudden you found out something about them, you're like, I had no idea. Why? Because people can hide stuff. It happens. But here's who you can't hide it from. God's got a foundation. And he says, I know who's mine. So we got to be careful. I want to remind you of the words from the psalmist in Psalms 139. He said, O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Understand tonight, God knows you. He sees you. Now, for some people, that's great. I don't know what you're dealing with, but if you're a child of God, understand God sees you tonight. And man, if you're trying to fool people, understand God sees you tonight. He knows you, and he knows who is his. But then Paul says this, that as a people who belong to Christ, we should depart from, leave behind, no longer participate in iniquity or sin. See, if we're a Christian, we can no longer practice a habit of sin. Understand, there is a difference between a mistake and willfully practicing sin. There is a difference. See, a mistake is something that happens rarely, but it's not a mistake if it happens every day. That's a habit. And this says that we should not practice iniquity, that we can't name the name of Christ and then openly live against what he's called us to do. Paul's just being real, laying it out. You can't live and practice sin and call yourself a Christian. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. See, when we respond to the drawing of the Holy Spirit and we surrender ourselves to Christ, we are made new creations, new creatures. There's the old passes away. That's what Scripture says. So we're different. So we're no longer dishonorable or of no use to God, but we're made vessels that he chooses to use for his glory. Your past becomes a testimony of what God brought you from. You're set free to serve him and point others to that same freedom. I had a friend of mine say this one time. He said, if you bring a rocky past to God, he can make a stone foundation out of it. And that's what a lot of us did, right? We brought a rocky past. We had some stuff that we're thankful that everybody in the room don't know. It's not broadcast on the board back here. But God knew who we were. But thank goodness we're not those same people. We are different. Why is that? Because God is able, and we may have thought we were dishonorable. And let me just tell you, one of the biggest lies that the enemy tells us is that we're not worthy to be used of God. But here, I've got good news for you. When you surrender your life to Christ, you may not be worthy in your own eyes, but man, he makes you beautiful and he makes you useful for him. And that if you'll just surrender who you are and you'll just follow after him, he will allow you to be an honorable vessel for his glory. That's what it comes down to, an honorable vessel for his glory. So tonight, good news. Whatever you've done in the past, that's where it is. If you've asked for forgiveness, that's over. That's not who you are in God's eyes anymore. I know we say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and that's true. But you're not a sinner anymore. If you're in Christ, we're not sinners anymore, right? We're new creations. The Bible calls us saints. Now, listen, did you know you was a saint tonight? I don't know. I'm looking for some halos right here. I don't know. Light shining on certain people. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There are two key words right here, flee and pursue. Now, what does it mean to flee? That means get out of town, run, not walk. When you imagine, think about these horror movies when people are running. Don't be like that, because you always trip up over some kind of tree limb, right? Ain't what we want you to do, to trip and fall down. when you flee, your picture should be that of Joseph. When Potiphar's wife grabbed his jacket, what did he do? He left it. He didn't care it was 32 degrees outside. He went running. Whatever it is, when you flee, you got to run with all that you are. Run away from. What is it saying? Run from youthful lust. What is that? Those fleshly desires. You know, as a kid, you grow up and everything is about me, 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 right? Let's just be real. You become a tent. Me, me, me. It's all about me discovering this and that and figuring life out. But when you turn your life over to Christ, what he's saying is you can't feed those fleshly desires anymore. It's not about making yourself comfortable. It's about fleeing that so that you can be who God's called you to be. It's about knowing better and doing better. Sometimes we don't know better. Kids don't know better, so we have to teach them, right? But once they know better, guess what? We hold them accountable. I don't know. I do. My grandkids, once we've taught them, we taught them. You know, my kids were the same way. You know better than that. I've told you that 28,000 times. I know you're 3, but great day. We've had a lot of conversations. You want them to do better because they've been taught to do better. Well, that's Paul saying, look, as Christians, we know better, so we got to do better. We got to flee those things. Because, you know, here's the problem. If you're not careful and you hang around and don't flee, you step back. You say, well, I'm not going to get involved. I'm just watching. I know this is a bad analogy, but it's the best one I got. You can't hang around fire and not smell like smoke. You ever tried? I have, man. I'm like, man, I don't want my jacket to smell like. I'm going to stay away from the fire. And then I get home. I'm like, great day. I should have got close to the fire if I'm going to smell like it anyway. But that's what happens. We try to, that's sinful. I'm going to just stay back here. And then all of a sudden, a lot of times we're drawn to it. And the next thing we know, we're in it. So we have to be careful. The Bible says flee those things. But then it says pursue. And what does that mean? If flee means to run from, pursue means to run to run after, to chase after. Paul says that we ought to be running to things that make our life better, that are pleasing to the Lord. Think about it. Pursue righteousness, right living. Our life is better when we do things the right way. It's just proven. It's better when we do things God's way. When you follow the instructions that he's given us. Then it says, pursue faith and trust and pursue love. Man, if we pursue love and not hate, isn't the world better for it? Isn't our life better for it? And then he says, pursue peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Man, we've got to have pure hearts as we're doing these things and trying to make relationship with other people who have pure hearts. That's why the church family is so important. Because when you got people you can depend on and lean on and trust in and who will pray for you, who will help you out when things are bad, there's nothing like a church family. It says pursue that. Verse 23, almost done, guys, almost done. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Again, Paul comes back to warn us to be careful with the words we use and the debates we get in. If we aren't careful, we find ourselves arguing over issues that aren't life and death. I'm not going to argue with somebody about what day Christ will return. You know why? I don't know. And you know what? You don't either. Nobody does. I don't care how smart they are. There have been a lot of people guessed. I mean, I remember back in the 80s when a man wrote a book called 88 Reasons Christ Will Return in 88. He didn't return. Guess what? The next year he had a book, 89 Reasons Christ Is Coming Back in 89. And people bought it. That's what's crazy. I'm not going to get in debates over those kind of things because I'm not. The Bible says that we don't know. No man knows. So I'm not going to get in a debate with somebody over that. there's some things I will debate you about. If you tell me there's another way to heaven except Jesus, we'll talk about that issue, because that's life and death. Because if you lead somebody down the wrong path and tell them there's another way, then you've led them to hell. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we got to be careful about what we're doing. So I pray what happens is that the Lord helps us not get up caught in the wrong things, but to live like Stephen Curtis Chapman. Anybody remember Stephen Curtis Chapman? I'm going to quote this old songwriter. If you've ever heard of Stephen Curtis Chapman, raise your hand. All right, so if you haven't, raise your hand. Oh, man. I love Stephen Curtis Chapman. He's an old guy. He was the guy. He was awesome. But he wrote a song, and this was the lyric. He said, I'm going to live the next 5 minutes like it's my last 5 minutes. See, if we got focused on living like Christ was coming back, it will put a different perspective on the things that we value as important and not important. If we understand he's coming. See, I'm not going to debate you about when he's coming, but I'm going to promise you this, he's coming. And I don't know when, so I don't want to take a chance that I'm going to miss it, because it could be tomorrow. We got to make sure we get ourselves ready. And if we live like that, we don't have to debate it about, oh, well, I need to be ready on September 28th of this. No, no, no. How about be ready today on January 17th, 2024? Because if you're ready today and then you're ready on January 18th, it doesn't matter when he comes, because you're looking for his appearance. You're ready for that. And then the last three verses here. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. See, Paul gives us some things to think about right here. He says, as servants of the Lord, we shouldn't be fussing, but we ought to be gentle. We shouldn't fight with everybody. We ought to be gentle to everybody. That's what it says, gentle to all. See, I believe when you have a spirit of gentleness, I believe that's what draws people to Christ. I believe Jesus was a gentle man. Now, he was hard when he had to be, but he loved people. They were drawn to it. I have found that people are drawn to humans who love. Some of you have heard me say this. If you've ever wondered what my philosophy of ministry is, it comes down to this. Preach the word and love like crazy. That's who I am. Who have always been. People would say, man, why do kids keep coming back? Listen, we had kids bicycle in the rain to get to church on Wednesday nights. You know why? Not because I'm a great preacher. Obviously, you know that listening tonight. But you know what I was going to do? I was going to love them like crazy. Even when I knew what they did last weekend, I was going to still love on them. They knew that. They knew when they came in, they were going to get a big old bear hug, because that's who I am. And I was going to love on them. Just because that's who they were. I wasn't going to punish them because they made a mistake. I wasn't going to look down. Now, we had conversations about it, but again, you know how we did it? Gently. We started talking, and they knew I loved them, and so it came from a place they knew what the motivation was. I found it makes a big difference when you're not hammering somebody, pointing at them and saying, aha, you done messed up again. You sorry joker. I told you. You can't do that. There's got to be a sense of gentleness. And then Paul said that we as servants should be able to teach. I don't think that means we should all be able to stand in the pulpit, but I do think we need to be able to live out the words of 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Again, we ought to be able to talk to people about Christ, about our faith. And Paul says, do it with gentleness, respect, patience. Oh, my goodness. I don't always have it like I need to. But with patience and humility. Paul said we should correct and teach this way as well, not proudly pointing a finger and pointing out somebody's flaws and shortcomings, but understanding that their soul is in the balance. Think about what it said. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, if God will. And then it says this, because they don't even know that they're not in their right mind. They don't even know that Satan has come in and they're captive and they're doing his will. We got to understand lost people aren't going to act like Christians. And we can't expect them to. So with gentleness and love and respect, we got to talk to them. Verse 26 reminds us that people living in sin who are battling addictions, doing things that don't necessarily make sense to us, that they're being toyed with by the enemy. The same enemy described in John 10:10 is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He's toying with people's lives. So there's a lot at stake tonight. When we get that perspective that this is a soul issue, not just a drug issue or a sin issue, but it's a soul issue, I believe it will change how we deal with some folks along our journey. Tonight, my title of this is The Lord Knows. He knows who we are. He knows who are His. Tonight, He's calling us to live for Him and love Him every day, so we can be a vessel of honor and point people to Jesus. Lord, I pray you would help us tonight to live this out, that you would use us for your glory, to let us show grace and mercy. God, would you use us so that people will see Christ in us, the hope of glory, on a daily basis. Be with your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.